Hey everyone, welcome back. Ready for a deep dive into something new? We're going to tackle Form 8865 today.
Yeah, you know, international finance and taxes, all that good stuff.
Exactly. Specifically, if you have any foreign partnerships, this one's for you.
And before you hit that skip button, trust me, this is way more interesting than it might sound at first.
I have to agree. When I first saw this topic, I thought, ugh, taxes. But there are actually some pretty interesting quirks here.
It's true. This is one of those areas where U.S. tax law gets surprisingly complex. It's all about trying to keep up with, you know, globalization and all that.
And I bet a lot of people get tripped up by it.
Oh, absolutely. People get so caught up in the excitement of, like, international ventures and expanding their business, they don't realize they have these tax obligations, too.
Which is why we're here. We'll help you avoid those pitfalls. So let's just jump right in. First things first, what exactly are we talking about when we say Form 8865?
Basically, it's how the IRS keeps tabs on your foreign partnerships. You know, if you're a U.S. person and you have an interest in a partnership that wasn't formed under U.S. law, well, the IRS wants to know about it.
So it's like sending a postcard from your international business trip, right?
Exactly. But instead of a scenic picture, it's filled with numbers and legal jargon.
And much like sending those postcards, you've got to make sure it actually gets to the right people, right? Not everyone needs to file this form, do they?
You're exactly right. Understanding who needs to file is really important. And it's not always as straightforward as you might think.
Okay, so who are these lucky people the IRS wants to hear from?
Well, there are four main categories of filers. First up, we've got the big players, right? So if you control the partnership, meaning you have over 50% ownership, you're definitely filing Form 8865.
That makes sense. If you're the one calling the shots, the IRS wants to know.
Exactly. That's category one. Then we have category two.
Okay, what's category two all about?
Category two is for those who own at least 10% and have made certain contributions to the partnership. So even if you don't have that majority ownership, you might still be on the hook.
Interesting. So even a significant minority share comes with some responsibilities. What are the other scenarios where someone might need to file?
Right. So the third category, that covers those who experience a big shift in their ownership. Again, this is even if it's still above that 10% mark.
So it's like the IRS wants an update on your involvement.
Exactly. They want to know what's going on. Then finally, we have category four, which is pretty simple.
Let me guess. Anyone buying or selling their part of the partnership.
You got it. Buying or selling, you need to file.
So it's not like even dipping your toes in the foreign partnership pool could mean extra paperwork. Is there anything else that might surprise people about who needs to file?
You know what surprises a lot of people? The idea of constructive ownership.
Constructive ownership. Okay, break that down for me. What does that even mean?
So it means that your relationship with someone else who's involved in the partnership, that could actually bring you into the Form 8865 world.
Wait, really? So it's not just about whether my name is directly on the documents?
Nope. Let's say, for example, you have a sibling, right? And that sibling owns part of a company that's part of a foreign partnership. You might think, oh, I'm in the clear.
Yeah.
But depending on your ownership in your sibling's company and how it all connects to that foreign partnership, well, the IRS might see things a bit differently.
Wow. Okay, so it's not as simple as just looking at your own direct involvement. That's something to keep in mind. Family ties and even close business relationships, those can have tax implications you might not expect at all.
Exactly. It's really important to look at the whole picture, right? Don't make assumptions.
Speaking of looking at the whole picture, let's talk about the form itself. I hear it doesn't travel alone.
You heard right. Form 8865, it's got a posse. Or at least a collection of schedules, depending on which filer category you fall into. Remember we talked about those four categories?
They do.
Well, each one has its own set of schedules, each with its own, you know, delightful requirements.
So it's like a choose your own adventure, but instead of battling dragons, you're battling paperwork.
Exactly. And just like those choose your own adventure books, the path you take determines the challenges you'll face.
And I'm guessing there are a lot of different paths you could end up on.
Oh, absolutely. Our source material has a whole table that lists out the specific schedules needed for each category. We won't bore you with all the details right now.
But it's important to know your category isn't enough. You really have to dig deeper and figure out which schedules are relevant to you.
Exactly. It's all about figuring out your own personalized paperwork journey.
Okay, so we've covered who needs to file and what they need to file. But before we move on, I have to ask, why all the fuss? Why does the IRS care so much about our foreign partnerships?
That's the real question, isn't it? And it's not just about bureaucracy or the IRS wanting to know everything. It's about real financial consequences. Owning part of a foreign partnership has tax implications.
So it's more than just letting the IRS know, hey, I'm involved in international business now. There are actual financial things I need to be aware of.
Absolutely. For one thing, get ready for some increased reporting requirements. The IRS is going to want all the details about what's going on with your foreign partnership.
Okay, so like where the money's coming from, where it's going, that makes sense. Yep. What else?
Here's the big one. As a U.S. taxpayer, you're subject to worldwide income taxation. That means those foreign earnings, they're part of the equation.
Wait, so even if I'm earning profits overseas, I still have to pay taxes on them in the U.S. Isn't that like double taxation?
You're right to be concerned about that. But the good news is there's something called foreign tax credits.
Foreign tax credits. Okay, tell me more about those.
Basically, it helps you avoid being taxed twice on the same income.
Oh, okay. So I can claim a credit for the taxes I paid to the foreign country, and that reduces what I owe in the U.S.
You got it. It's supposed to make things fair. But, and this is important, the rules around these credits, they can be really complex.
Let me guess. There's a but. There's always a but with taxes.
Right. It's probably a good idea to talk to a professional when it comes to these credits. You want to make sure you're maximizing them.
Yeah, sounds like something you don't want to mess around with. Okay, so foreign tax credits. Got it. Anything else I need to be thinking about when it comes to these partnerships?
Well, don't forget about currency exchange.
Oh, right. Of course, when you're dealing with different countries, you're dealing with different currencies.
Exactly. And all those euros or yen or whatever you're earning, they have to be translated into U.S. dollars for tax purposes.
But doesn't the IRS just, like, use an average exchange rate or something?
It's a bit more complicated than that. Depending on when those transactions happen and the specific rules, those conversions could mean you either gain or lose money when it comes to taxes.
Wow. So it's like getting hit with a surprise currency exchange fee, but instead of a few bucks, it could be like way more.
Exactly. And that's not all. These transactions could even impact your financial statements.
Really? How so?
Well, certain accounting rules might come into play because you have this foreign partnership. Things like transfer pricing rules or specific ways to do accounting for foreign entities.
So this isn't just about the tax forms themselves. This is about understanding the bigger financial picture.
Exactly. The more you know, the better you'll be able to handle all of it.
It sounds like it. Okay, so we've talked about the what and the why of Form 8865. But what about the so what? What does all this mean for our listeners?
Yeah, we've covered a lot. But the big question is, what does it all mean for you?
Exactly. What are the key takeaways here?
The big thing is, if you're involved with foreign partnerships, you really need to understand Form 8865. This isn't a one-size-fits-all thing.
Right. It sounds like the specific requirements can get really complicated.
They really can. And it's different for everyone depending on their situation.
So what might be easy for one person could be a nightmare for someone else.
Exactly. That's why you can't just assume you know what you're doing.
Don't try to figure it all out on your own.
Right. Take the time to figure out your own obligations. And don't be afraid to get help if you need it.
Talk to a professional.
Yes. Especially when it comes to taxes, it's better to be safe than sorry, right?
Definitely. So you're saying, even though we've gone over a lot today, this isn't a replacement for actually getting advice for your specific situation.
Exactly. Think of this as your starting point. But a tax professional, they can help you navigate all the details of Form 8865, make sure you're using those foreign tax credits, and, you know, hopefully sleep a little better at night.
Because nobody wants to be stressing about taxes more than they have to.
Exactly.
Well, there you have it. If you're thinking about getting involved with foreign partnerships, remember, knowledge is power. Do your research, ask for help when you need it, and stay informed.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive. Until next time.